the progression of Scripture as a history of redemption. First the natural, then the spiritual. There is a spiritual temple today that cannot be taken away. It's already been built. And you read the epistles, it's laid upon Christ, the chief cornerstone. And the doctrine of the apostles and prophets and lively stones, that's all the elect that God the Father has chosen and made alive in Christ, placed on that foundation. That's a temple that the world can't get its hands on. So while the world is trying to interpret history and figure out the ins and outs and all of this, God's doing his work. But what I want us to see as I read this is not just how this psalm would have pertained to Israel historically, but I want you to read it as, by God's grace, we read all of Scripture, and that is how it pertains to Christ. And don't be like the man that said, well, I don't see Christ in the text. Well, that's due to our own blindness, because even our Lord said that, told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You can never go wrong in looking for Christ in the Scriptures.
As I've often told you, there's not one subject of Scripture that you can discuss apart from coming back to Christ's person and work in his death on the cross. And here we go. Paul talking about the return of Christ, but what does he all base it on? Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. It's the effect, his coming again, the resurrection, the final resurrection is the effect, the final glorification, the effect of all that he accomplished there at Calvary. So you can see why it's so pivotal. You can see why Paul said that he gloried in nothing but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the very foundation of all that we are as believers.
How prideful we get. There's a pride of face, who we are. There's a pride of place, where we are. But there's also a pride of grace that somehow makes us think that I've got it. And that's where we need to be taught again, that we've got nothing except for what God has been pleased to do for wretches such as we are in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this picture here of one kneeling with hands raised toward heaven, someone might say, well, that's us in our humiliation. But I'll tell you, that's Christ in his humiliation. Because just as we've been seen in these Psalms, it's all about Christ. And we're nothing else required of us than to feel our sin. There's a song that says that. That we come as we are and nothing else is required but to feel our sin. I'm pulled up short even on that statement. Because if that were the requirement, then God would have to cast me into hell. As I heard one preacher say one time, if you got down on your knees every night at the end of the day and repented of your sin, as soon as you got into bed, you'd have to get back out again and repent of your repentance. Thankfully, it's not based upon my seeing myself as I am, but salvation is based upon God seeing me as Christ is. That's why John wrote, as he is in the world, so are we. If Christ is our substitute, if Christ paid the debt, if Christ worked out this absolute righteousness, then I stand complete in him. That's the language of Scripture. I am what I am by the grace of God, period.